The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now, here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Hello again. I am Paul Orlowski, and we have a very special guest today, a really unique job and a Cleveland area native, maybe more down toward Akron, and it is Sister John Paul. Sister, you're a Dominican and the principal of a really unique high school. Welcome to God Calling.
Great. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Sister, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town called Manchester, a little south of Akron.
Goodyear blimp hangar down there, not far from there, right?
That's right, not far.
Yep.
That's
you true. Can't miss that thing. Tell me about growing up. A lot of prayer before meals, or just weekly mass? How did you grow up?
None of the above, actually.
Wow.
My parents were both Catholic and were raised Catholic, but we didn't really practice the faith growing up. At least I didn't. And I had this amazing opportunity that God gave me to attend a retreat when I was a sophomore in high school at my home parish. And at that retreat, I had a conversion moment that ended up being a lifelong conversion. So I'm so grateful for that opportunity. But the youth group at that parish was on fire and doing great things, and somehow the Lord got me there.
That was my next question. How did you get there if you weren't really going to a church?
No, but the youth leader, so the organization, the way it was organized was that an actual high school student was a leader of the retreat.
Oh.
He and his companions called all of the high school age young people in the parish and personally invited them to attend the retreat. And he personally invited my mom to invite me to the retreat, I think, is how that worked, and in which case she did so. And so, not sure, the Holy Spirit was very busy, but I chose to attend, and really was absolutely life-changing for me.
Isn't it funny how something that simple can change a person's life?
Yes.
It's unbelievable. So what drew you to the Dominican sisters and to education?
Dominican sisters was a little bit of a journey to find them. When I first had the thought of vocation to being a sister, to religious life, I didn't really know what that was.
Mm-hmm.
I had not really encountered very many sisters, if any, and so that was a whole learning process. So I was looking at religious life long before the internet. And so I was a brochure collector.
Okay.
So collected all these different brochures of different religious orders.
How old were you? When was that? Was that during college, after
that
college?
Senior year in high school and then into college.
Okay.
And the collection really started when I went to World Youth Day in Denver in 1993. And there are lots of religious there. And so I was sort of captivated by all the sisters that were there. And really, as I started reading the brochures and getting more serious about discerning my vocation, I kept coming across, there are different things that were more attractive to me, and I think a lot of that came also out of how our youth group was structured, and that was Eucharistic adoration, the rosary, the divine office, of course. Those elements were so important to me, and of course I had a great love for Pope John Paul II, and so fidelity to the Church, and a great love for the Church, and the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia really had all of that in spades, and also when I visited, it felt like home. Now I would say I have great zeal for St. Dominic and his vision of preaching for the salvation of souls.
Mm-hmm. Now, where did you go to school, college?
I went to John Carroll University in University Heights.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great place to be, too, because guys from the seminary are there, and it's a Catholic college, and so it's a great place to, I suppose, to build a faith life.
Yes, I had a good experience, and I continued to stay involved in that youth group also as a young adult, helping out, and so I think that was also key. I think surrounding ourselves with those who are helping us move in the right direction in our faith is so important.
Mm-hmm. So you kept seeing about the Dominicans, St. Cecilia. What's the first step? How do you contact them, and what happens next?
Well, I used my little brochure, and I made a phone call to the vocation directress and asked what I should do next. I'm thinking about religious life. What do you think? I don't know anything about it. And mm-hmm. So she really encouraged me to come visit, and I did. So I went down to Nashville for a few days, and the rest is history. It was a really beautiful experience to visit. And in hindsight, I know also that the sisters went to great lengths to be hospitable because they had just hosted a retreat for a large group of young women to visit, and I couldn't make that time, and so they would just finish this big retreat and then were hosting me, so I was like, oh.
Individual attention.
So it was beautiful. But the sisters were filled with joy, and they were very real. They were not cardboard cutout holy women. Mm-hmm. They were very much themselves. They had their own personalities, and they were filled with joy and loved the church, loved Our Lady, and I just felt like I was at home. Mm-hmm. When I was there. So after the visit, the initial visit, I asked if I could apply to enter, and that's a whole process. And I finally made the decision really after hearing a homily on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. The homily was about Mary. Didn't really know all the details of her yes, and she gave it in an unqualified way. And she just said yes to God, and I think that was very freeing for me. I could just say yes to God, and He will take care of me, and whatever happens, happens.
So then you entered in Nashville, did you say?
I did. I entered in August of 1998, entered the community.
And how many years of formation?
At the time I entered, there were 4 years of formation. The first year was, we are a postulant, mm-hmm. and you're just really learning and trying to understand kind of the big picture of the life and getting to know the community better. And then at the end of that year, you receive the habit and a new name, and you start your canonical novice year, during which time you spend a lot of time studying the vows and understanding our life in the context of the church, our religious life. And at the end of that year, we make first profession, which is a temporary vows for 3 years. And then at the end of those 3 years, you renew again your vows for 2 more years, and then you take perpetual vows at the end of that. So
long journey.
Yes, yes.
Sister, stay right where you are. I hope our listeners will to hear more from Sister John Paul here on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Thanks for staying with us. Sister John Paul is with us today, right here on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Sister, you didn't have a ton of religious upbringing. Was your family supportive when you decided to go to these retreats and actually make the commitment to consecrated life?
Yes, my family, I think they struggled to understand religious life and understand why I would want to do this, but ultimately very supportive and very loving. And I think what's been beautiful for them is what they ever really wanted was for me to find happiness and do whatever I was supposed to be doing in life. And I think they have been able to see that I'm very happy and very actually grateful for my vocation and mm-hmm. delighted to be living the life.
Do you have other brothers and sisters?
I do. I have two brothers and a sister, and they are all older. I'm the youngest.
Did they ever return to the church or practice more so than when they were small? Or
they're all at different sort of places in their mm-hmm. in their spiritual journey, but yes, sort of. I think is the true answer.
I bet they've got you praying for them too.
I am. I pray for them every day for sure.
You mentioned a youth retreat in your youth group. at St. Mary's in Hudson, Ohio. They have a very vibrant, it's on fire youth group. And they had, I think it was seven vocations, priests, in 7 years out of that parish. And anybody you talk to credits that strong youth group. And it seems like that made a big change in your life, too. Which kind of dovetails nicely into where I'm going with your current work. You're at, I hope I pronounce it right, Frasati Catholic High School. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right.
Yes.
In Spring, Texas.
Yes.
And is founded by Blessed Pier George Frasati. So why that name, sister?
Pier Giorgio is he's a relatively modern saint, so he lived 1901 to 1925. He's just an amazing example for young people. So St. John Paul II gave him the title Man of the Beatitudes when he beatified him in 1990. And he was very ordinary. Pier Giorgio was just an ordinary young man, living life, going to college, had this friend group, prayed the rosary daily, went to adoration, went to daily mass, sort of discerned that he did not actually have a vocation to the priesthood, even though he was very open to that. But he was such a great young man.
Mm-hmm.
And so when our board of the high school was introduced to this person, Pier Giorgio, they fell in love with him and wanted to offer him as a model for our young people. And he's also a third order Dominican. So all these things in his favor.
How did the high school start? Because it's fairly new.
The high school started with a group of men and women who came together and were anxious to start a Catholic high school on the north side of Houston. So Spring, Texas is about 45 miles north of Houston. And all the other Catholic high schools are further south. So there are five Catholic elementary schools in our area. And if those students wanted to go to a Catholic high school, they would have quite the drive, perhaps an hour and a half each way every day. And so this group got together in 2007 and said, we really want a Catholic high school. And they worked and worked and worked. In 2011, the Dominican sisters partnered with them, and we said we would support them by having an administrator in sisters teaching. So three of us came in 2011 and started working on getting things ready, and the school opened in 2013.
You know, that's a very nice story from the standpoint of here are lay people seeing a need, hoping to provide an opportunity for their kids to go to a Catholic high school and not, you know, waste an hour and a half a day driving. It's just people stepping up to fill a need. I get a lot of joy out of that story.
Yes, it's very inspiring to me as well, and it's been a great gift to work with them. A lot of those founding board members have moved on, but what they've done and what they've started here at Frasati is pretty tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it is inspiring.
Tell me about the programming there, because I've read about the school, there's a whole department of ethics and culture. Some of that, I think, maybe is missing in public education. Maybe I'm wrong, but it just—I don't see a high priority placed on forming your personal ethic and how to treat people. And what do you think about that?
Yes, I think it's an exciting department that we have in the school, and an exciting opportunity we have to teach our young people really the why. So the Ethics and Culture Department, as far as the academic program is structured, they take philosophy classes. So they take the philosophy of the human person, principles of ethics, bioethics, and then their senior year, it's a capstone course that hopefully is tying it all together for them. But so often what our young people do not get when they're in religion class or when they're taking any kind of catechetical course, they often don't understand the philosophy that undergirds the theology.
Mm.
There's a lot that in the faith that you can actually, in the teachings of the church, I should say, that you can actually say, well, that's based on reason. That's not just a church saying X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an opportunity for us to really challenge them intellectually, but also to help them actually deepen their faith, because they know the why. They don't have to just say, oh, well, this is what the church teaches.
Yeah. I'm a lot older than you are, but that was, I've said this on many, many programs. You know, in my day, I was in you know, Catholic school from the 50s and 60s. And the reason why you did it was because I said so.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't not understand things, but it was just go. I said so, you know, that sort of stuff. And understanding, like you say, the formation and the theory behind it lasts a lifetime, I'm guessing.
Yes, our students who are graduating and going off to college have come back and told us time and time again how helpful it's been for them as they encounter all sorts of philosophies of life and all sorts of teaching strategies for their different coursework when they go off to college. They are grateful for the grounding that they have in our philosophy here. So it's been a really positive experience. Also, just in the as they go through their time here through high school with their other classes, it helps them to be more clear in their thinking, more critical consumers of culture, mm-hmm. which is so important.
Sister, stay right where you are, and I hope our listeners will too on God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Sister John Paul is with us today on God Calling. She is the principal of Frassati Catholic High School in Spring, Texas, a real unique place. Sister, I'm getting an image in my head that these kids are almost like their coursework, not so much like a high school, but maybe more like a college, and that they're, I think one of the things I read about it was that you were trying to cultivate, quote unquote, the whole person.
Yes, absolutely. It's so important that their formation is not just academic, and it's in how to be a strong Christian Catholic human being.
Mm-hmm.
And that involves how to handle our emotions, how to handle choices and making good choices and bad choices and dealing with consequences, and it's really everything. So being able to serve in a high school is a great opportunity to support these young people, and the goal is to reclaim the culture for Christ.
You're in a Catholic high school with bright kids, obviously, because I've seen some of the numbers of the scholarships and how many millions of dollars these kids have won in scholarships. But, you know, I almost had a permanent chair outside the principal's office. I suspect they still need some guidance along the way. Am I right?
Oh, indeed. Indeed. None of us is exempt from that. But yes, they make the same kind of mistakes and missteps that high school students everywhere else do.
Yeah, yeah. But in grade school, it was outside the nun's office, Sister Mary Bernadette, the principal. And then in high school, the vice principal handled that. So, Mr. Hughes.
That's what I do, too.
What about social media and these kids these days, Sister? What are you witnessing in that? And you mentioned the word of, you know, consumers of culture. And some of you, what you see out there is just crazy stuff.
Well, I can share what I told our new families at orientation in August, and that is I haven't really seen social media benefit an adolescent.
Okay.
I don't think there's much out there that's beneficial for them. And in fact, we're starting to see new data that shows how detrimental it can be to their formation and to their person. So I think it's very difficult to navigate this very digital world as families. You know, parents, I think it's very difficult for them and very difficult for our young people to navigate it. So I think social media is probably lowest on the list of what I would provide for young people as far as technology. And if they do have it, it should be very, very monitored, and they need a lot of support in how to navigate it.
So the parents need to keep their eyes and ears open.
Yes.
I've heard of this because it's not part of my life anymore, but parents will take away screen time. And I'm not so sure that isn't backwards from the standpoint that it puts a value on screen time as opposed to, you know, this is how much you're going to get. It seems like a dumb punishment and maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think it could go either way. But I definitely think screen time should be limited, for sure. And I agree that the time should be set that you have it. It matters to them so much that it often is a pretty effective behavior management program.
Yeah.
Unless they have no screen time ever in their lives, right?
Okay. So it works if you take it away.
It's just so addictive. All of it is so addictive. And it's by design that it's so addictive, which is painful. And so, yeah, it's a difficult thing to navigate for sure.
Can the kids have a cell phone in their at their desk?
No, they don't have them in class.
put it in your locker and you're done for the day. That's or until lunch maybe or whatever.
Correct. It should be in their locker.
Now, you are ranked nationally as a college preparatory Catholic institution. And I read, and this is an old article, but $18.5 million in scholarships. At that time, over 60 AP Scholar Awards in the first 4 years, 11 National Merit Scholarship Program Award recipients, and 100% college acceptance. That is amazing. I don't know if those numbers have changed. I'm sure they're a lot bigger numbers now. But in 4 years, that type of success is remarkable.
It is. It is. It's remarkable and blessed. Like, it's God has sent those young people to us and sent the teachers and staff that we have to cultivate their excellence. So the growth and the trajectory of our school has been very much blessed by God.
I talked earlier about being kind of a college situation, almost being like college, but you have to provide the opportunities, I guess. You have AP classes, dual credit classes, which I take it means you can get some college credit, mm-hmm. as well as honors and stuff. And how do you keep that going? And how selective is your system? Do you have a backlog of people wanting to get in?
We don't have a waiting list or anything like that at this time. And you know, our predisposition is, if you really want an authentic Catholic education, we want you to come to our school.
Mm-hmm.
We try to have a very holistic application process and admission process. So we're not just looking for the cream of the crop academically by any means. That would not be in accord with our patron, Pier Giorgio Frassati, who failed Latin twice. And had to go to a different school because he failed Latin, and then he went back to the other school, and he had this whole journey, and writes often in his letters that school was difficult for him, studying was difficult for him. So we want to be well-rounded in our student population, and we look for that desire and that mission fit. Like, we have something in particular to give, and we want to be able to work with families to do what's best for these young people.
Coming kind of back around to where we started, tell me some more, I probably should have asked this earlier, about the Dominican tradition and charism.
Dominicans are known for study and contemplation and then sharing that, particularly in preaching and or teaching. That's really true of our community, that we have a high priority on study and prayer and personal prayer and communal prayer. We pray the Divine Office together as a community. And then we work in schools. We teach in schools throughout the U.S. and internationally.
Boy, you picked the right order and they gave you the right job, that's for sure. Sister, if people want to know more about your school, how can they find out? Is there a website?
Yes, frassaticatholic.org is our website.
That's F-R-A-S-S-A-T-I. Very good. Sister John Paul from the Akron area, welcome to God Calling, and thank you for joining us on God Calling. Hopefully a lot of your old friends will listen and hear you and pray for you.
Amen. I hope so, too.
All right. Take care, sister. And folks, thanks for joining us. Join us next week at the same time on God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM1260therock.com.